Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, what the hell? What's the title of this thing? Don't title again.
And I did on the
rolling, Bob.
Psst. Hey, listen up. It's Prick. I don't have much time. I snuck out the asshole's old road track here. I got a message right now. Listen up. This is really important. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened to the guy. But that shit about telling everybody to go and send him a note, tell him why you like his podcast, why you listen, why it's important, that is the lowest this guy has sunk in a very, very long time. Like, that was a pathetic cry for help from some self-centered asshole egotist who just can't get his shit together. You'd think after 13 years of this guy podcasting, he wouldn't be out there begging his listeners to send him a nice little note. Oh, tell me how much you like my show. Fucking disgusting. So I'm here to tell you right now, that message he sent out in the previous podcast, don't listen to him, don't send him anything. He doesn't want it, he doesn't need it. It's just, it's embarrassing for him, and anything that you send in return and he reads out, it feeds that sickness that he's got. So stop it now. I'm speaking on because he doesn't have the courage to do this himself. I'm just, he's coming. Just believe me, cancel everything, any request that comes out from the guy, anything he asks you, ignore it, okay? That's all I got to say.
Cut in here, Scarborough Dude back at you. That's The Sleeper by Cannibal Adderley in the background, and here's me in the foreground with a cold. Now I know there's some rule that says, hey man, if you got a cold and you can't talk clearly, don't do a podcast. But I don't follow rules. It's not the flu, and I hope it doesn't turn into, I mean, a cold I can handle. I used to think, you know, your mom would always say, you get cold, you go outside without your hat on, you're going to catch a cold. You get wet, you're going to catch a cold. And then I've heard my wife correct and say, no, colds are just spread by germs. You don't catch it by being out in the cold. But I've assigned myself doorman duties at the church, and it's continually standing outside, holding it open for people to come in and just wear your jacket. And, that night I'm feeling the effects of a cold, so I don't know. I really don't know what to believe. Doesn't matter. End result, I have a cold. I'm okay. I don't feel too bad. And there's nothing else I had to do today. I've got to submit my marks. I'll go into the college tomorrow and be done with that. Anyway, I got some stuff I want to share with you. And it's all odd. I'll start off by saying I went just to check on the road trek last night in the dark. And I had the creepiest feeling when I went in there that either someone else was there or had been there recently and sort of haunting the presence, and it's just, it bugged me. I couldn't stay in there. I had to leave. Like, just something creepy. As if something either was watching me or aware of me. So, anyway, I hope that doesn't last too much longer. But it's Monday now, the 15th of January. Oh, shit, that reminds me. I've got taxes to do. Anyway, I've given myself a whole list of things to do for February. You know, all this talk about, oh, I'll go somewhere in February. That's off. I've got so much stuff to do at home that will make me feel better if I do it. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm looking around my room, and it is a shambles, and I can't find things, and stuff just keeps it buried in layers, and it's a huge job, but it has to be done. It has to be done. There was an incident today. My wife sometimes takes out the garbage, or these bags sort of mysteriously go into her car, and I never know what's in them. that I'm not allowed to look. But things go missing. And I think the idea is if I don't notice and don't know what it is, then it just doesn't matter. But, you know, sometimes we had some Christmas mugs. And I brought them out at Christmas time, and I was really happy to see them again. I remember them from the past. And they'd been hidden away in a closet that she couldn't reach above the fridge. Well, there was a bag in the back of the car with two mugs. I don't know which ones they were. I didn't want to look. I was just too heartbroken to look. So today, she gets in and she's got this bag with pictures in it. And a couple of them are pictures. They're framed. But they're just sort of things you can buy in a, you know, a Winners or a gift shop or somewhere. And they're ones, a couple of Van Goghs, things I didn't really care that much about, you know. They were just there. But in that bag, another picture stood up. And I looked. And I said, hey, that's my mother's painting. It's an original. It's actually, she didn't paint it. And I grabbed for it. I said, hey, that's been in my family 100 years. Now, that might be an exaggeration, but not that far off. And it really, really upset me that she would just see this thing, oh, well, it's just something else we don't hang up, we don't need it, I'll just get rid of it. It's not that it's worth money, although it's a one-of-a-kind, it's a neat sketch, I just have memories of it, and it's a feeling that I'm already dead. Like, when you do stuff like that, like, I don't matter, I don't enter into the equation. And it's a fear that if I suddenly go from a heart attack or whatever, road accident, stuff will be purged. And again, on the one hand, it won't make any difference. But it pains me. It pains me. And I know the problem is, well, hey, if I didn't hang on to stuff so much, and if I just, you know, got rid of the stuff that I don't need and did my share, maybe these incidents wouldn't arise. Like, if I had taken possession of that picture from wherever it was hidden. But then she basically manages the house. I'm just, like, a guest. I know all this sounds terrible, but that's how I'm feeling. I'm going to park that. But I do have a duty, a responsibility to... I wouldn't be exaggerating if I said maybe there were 5,000 items in this room. You know, when I say that, I'm talking about extensions to cell phones that I don't have anymore, and cables in containers and boxes, and various kinds of paper and stacks and documents. 5,000, 10,000 is maybe more realistic. It's painful. And it's painful to get rid of it, and it's time-consuming, but it's something I have to do. God, I'm exhausted just thinking, talking about it. But there's something else. Saturday. It was a weird night. This is, my wife had gone off, my son was off for the weekend. I was alone. And normally I would celebrate that. Wow, this is great. Do whatever I want, you know, a whole house to myself. But instead I felt lonely. And I think it's as if I was looking into the future and imagining being alone on my own. And it wasn't a great feeling. So I figured, well, why don't I turn the evening into something? I haven't smoked pot or consumed any for a month, maybe 2 months now. Mostly because I haven't gone drinking at the Only, which is where I usually like to step out and have a joint. So I have some liquid. My God. It's in a little container. And I ordered it online. It's Icann Oil Strong. 30 milliliters of this stuff. Equivalent to 27 grams. I don't know. Anyway, it's a high percentage of THC. And so I took this with the little syringe they give you. And I pulled back 5 milliliters. Now, I know now, today, that I should have done 2.5. But I did 5. Put it on some mashed potatoes, which you'll hear about. And then I had a very, very awkward time for the rest of the evening. So I'm going to come back and forth into that. I'm going to try, if all goes well here, I'm going to play a clip that I started that night but just could not get into the groove. So here it is from Saturday. I shouldn't have probably turned this on. But I was driven to. Now, of course, I could stop right now. Oh God, does that ever sound phony? It is odd, though. Tonight. Holy moly, I just put, a few drops on the potatoes. A Swanson TV turkey dinner for supper. Pretty shameful, but I figured I'd drop some of my liquid. I haven't got high on this stuff. I've got, a little 30 milliliter bottle, so get the little syringe they give you out and dropped it on the potatoes. Kind of a pissy yellow. But it seemed to have got me high. It's got to be a few hours later. Yeah. Anyway, I've been... I was feeling lonely tonight. My wife's gone out to join some friends for lobster dinner. And I'm glad she's going. I'm very glad she's going. I'm glad I'm not going. But, felt alone. Felt alone tonight. And then it all came together. Kind of beautifully. My cat's been up here the whole time in my room. We've been sharing a lot of love. God, that sounds creepy. A couple of things happened, though. I was thinking again about this audio journaling, the fact that that's what this is. And what does it mean? And then two things just sort of came together. And what was page 14? Ah, God, it's a long story. It's better just to experience it than to have to talk about it. Yeah, back later.
I was really having a hard time finding my groove there. I was rattled. My wife came back later, and I was still... sometimes when you're high, you got to get in the groove. You got to just get in the zone. You got to somehow line it all up and surf. Be in control. I don't know. Whatever it was, I wasn't. I was out of sync. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. Now, I put on this Cannonball Adderley, and then decided I needed a more comfortable chair to listen in. Like, lying in my bed, I'm not in line. I've got these really nice stereo speakers with my big iMac. So I went downstairs and grabbed a folding chair that flips back, one of these recliners, anti-gravity chairs. I figured I got to get that in the room. That's really important. And, of course, I did. And then lay back and I listened to that music for a long, long time. I mean, I've got, what, there's 93 cuts, you know, and they're average 6-7 minutes. I really felt good about that point. Like, that sailed along nicely, and I felt, okay, I'm getting a handle on this. This is what I want to do. But still, I'd go back and forth, you know. And I picked up this book by Aldous Huxley, and as so often happens, and the only reason I picked it up was because I'd seen a picture from Great Escape Bookshop of some coffee mugs, and it just happened that the shelf that the coffee mugs were sitting on was Aldous Huxley. And I looked at the books on that shelf and thought, hey, the book I'm holding in my hand right now that was beside my bed was sitting on that very shelf between those books. And if I hadn't have come in and bought it that day, well, it would have been there and I would have thought nothing of it. But it just struck me, the kind of thing when you're stoned, these things take on a significance. Oh my God, I've got that book, and I was trying to take a picture and send back, look, there's a book missing, and it's right here in my hand. Meaningless, of course, except for the passage. Now, I don't know if I'm going to read those passages. I think I am in this next clip. So let's go back to Saturday night. It's a little bit later, maybe half an hour later, and I'm trying again to record something. I'll try again. First beer of the day, and probably the last as well. It's a cowbell. Doc Perdue's Bobcat. Craft beer that rings true. West Coast Red Ale. Well, it's cold. It's got some taste. I don't know if I like it or not, but it doesn't make any difference, does it, really? Anyway. Oop, that's a distant mug. I'm back and struggling a bit. As I do when I OD. Well, I'm not ODing, but I'm sort of in a good place, but on an edge right now. God, that sounds awful, too. That sounds just, oh my God, what are you talking about? Get on with it. And the on with it is I listened to that man in Tennessee, our friend Jason. And it just blew me out of the water. I've listened to this divided over maybe 4 different sessions. Some in the car, some in the road trek. Some maybe in the supermarket, and then tonight just lying there. And tonight, it just really hit me. Wow. He called it, I think, unfiltered. But it was so powerful. And so real and so deep. And on one level, so frightening. He talked about the darkness. Now, I'm not trying to make it sound scary. Except it's scary. There's a lot of darkness around us. But I like that little quote about the mirror, you know, your reflection, you know, brings like-minded or people to you. And if you could just look in that mirror and love yourself, loved ones would find you, loving ones, something like that. But this Huxley quote, so at the same time I'm listening to that and I'm thinking about this talking. What is audio journaling? You know, how do I want to present this? Because I do think this is what we're doing, and I think it's important. And Jason's podcast tonight just reinforced that so strongly that, hey, don't be a robot. Be the real thing. Be the real you. Be who you are. And so this quote, this random quote, flipping through here on page 14, I'll read it. To see ourselves as others see us is a most salutary gift. Now I confess I looked up salutary. It's a good thing. Hardly less important is the capacity to see others as they see themselves. So you think about that, and you think, well, when you're listening to another podcaster expressing who they are, you're observing them expressing themselves to themselves as well. So hardly less important is the capacity to see others as they see themselves. You're seeing some of how they see themselves through their podcast. So podcasting is a way of connecting. And I love for myself this perfect little carry-on from my father's days as a ham radio operator. A part of his life, his whole life, you know. Adult life. Oh, man. So it's an evening I've had to have. But I really feel alone tonight. And not, you know, and I don't mean that as lonely. Ah, that's the other thing. The thing about this audio podcasting, it's revealing yourself for who you are, and then you could find, you might make some friends through that, people who trust you. And you think, wow, now that's a club I want to join. And I celebrate and I'm thankful for so many new friends I have just as a result of podcasting. New and special people I wouldn't have met otherwise. I think it's true for a lot of us. Anyway, stop there again. I'm not ready for tuning up songs or anything. I'm not too into this right now. I want to get back to the experience of it.
Yeah, so you can see why I don't record high much more as a rule. It's just so hard to focus and stay on track. And what was happening that night was, every time I said something, I'd sort of be like the audience reacting to what I said, or some other part of my mind was picking up on it and interpreting it all the wrong ways and saying, well, that's pretentious, so that's wrong. And the same was happening. I'd write something like, I wrote when I listened to this, I needed to tell Jason how important his podcast was to me. When he started talking about what he felt, it really, really touched me. And again, partly, of course, it was exaggerated because I was high. It was exaggerated because I was, you know, I had his voice right beside me lying on the bed, and I'm hearing this talk. So I wrote, wow, you really hit it out of the ballpark. And then I realized, well, that's a stupid thing to say. And of course, then Jason commented, and then I tried to explain, well, I'm not trying to say that was your best and everything has to measure up to that. And communication, which is difficult at the best of times, when you're high, it can just, I mean, it can get ridiculously funny. But if you're trying to be serious, it's awful. So I guess, you know, the evening went back and forth. And as I'd get into a groove, like listening to Cannonball or
reading a little bit from the book. I went back to the Kerouac book and would read something about Jack hauling out a joint, and it would just, oh my God, yeah, he didn't say that the same way in On the Road. This book, Desolation Angels, is more of the raw Jack. Almost the way with Henry Miller when he wrote The Rosy Crucifixion. That's more important than the books he became famous for later, you know, Tropic of Capricorn, Tropic of Cancer, and so on. The artist revealing himself just as a human. It's got a lot going for it. Anyway, here I go again, babbling on. I'm sorry. I'm going to play the last clip of the night. That was kind of disturbing. And I guess maybe this explains a lot of why I was not comfortable that evening. It just, well, here it is.
The thing is, I'm not ready to die, and that's God, that sounds like a stupid thing to say, a frightening thing to say. I'm not ready yet. So it's odd that I'd be a little frightened of death. Why? Well, because I'm not ready. What do you have to do to get ready? I think Yuki wants some attention, so I better go let her out. Okay, Yuki.
Where are you? You want to go out? You want to stay here, or do you want me to let you outside?
All right. I'll put an end to that conversation.
All right, so we're back to present-day Monday morning, Kim, with a cold. Actually, it's Monday afternoon. Oh, my God, it's almost 3 in the afternoon. Holy shit. Yeah, even the cat was kind of spooking me out that night. Everything was weird. I think she was marking out her territory in her way. Like, she led me down to where her food dish is, and it just sat there and looked up at me. And I said, well, do you need more food? And I put a little bit in the bowl. No, she just stared at me. And I was talking to her. I was trying to say, well, what are you trying to tell me? And then later on, she lay down on another bed, and she'd staked out all the rooms upstairs to show, I'm here too. This is mine also. And I think, of course, it's because we had that intruder taking over the downstairs that Yuki was saying, no, this is mine. And it made sense when I realized, because I can still picture her looking up at me, saying, hey, this place, this little tray you've got with the water and the food that you keep full, that's mine. It was kind of nice. Anyway, I'm going to end on that note. It was just a weird, weird night. I don't regret it. I do. I learned something. Do half the dose next time, I'll be better off. I really did think that clip from The Doors of Perception answered the questions I wanted to ask about personal podcasting. I mean, I really did feel things came together. I just was having a hard time holding it together. I mean, the answers were there, but I was just sort of going this way and that. So I'll leave it there and I'll get back to you. I'm not going to be clever and slide in a tune. I'm going to have to pick one out that might fit me, explain some of my confusion or paranoia or anxiety or whatever it is I just shared with you. So, Scarborough Dude on Dixon Jane's podcast number 665, signing off.
I'm not afraid to die.
Is still a little rough, but I really lucked out on this cold. I mean, Monday I had it, probably the worst, like just a lot of constant runny nose. And I never really suffered. I mean, it's kind of going away. You know, I was able to go out last night, have a good time. those are small blessings. You don't focus on, oh shit, I got a cold. You focus on, wow, that was an easy cold to deal with. I feel fine. I just don't sound so good, but then that's also a late-night voice. Got home at 11:30, and just in time, actually, to grab some Popeye's chicken out of the fridge, heat it up, and watch Coronation Street to get caught up. Well, very sorry to see that, what's-his-name, is dead, written out of the show. Again, another character. It doesn't matter, because I don't really have many Corey fans listening to this, and if you were a Corey fan, you'd know what I'm talking about. But, god damn, they gotta catch Pat. But, anyway, that's that. That's not what I'm gonna talk about. Last night was the gathering, a podcast gathering, organized by somebody whose name I can't pronounce. It's Gaelic or something. And she never showed up anyway. But it was a good gathering, quite a few people. And I didn't socialize much. I found the spot I wanted to sit at, and that's where I stayed. And it's kind of a neat thing. I've mentioned this before on the show, but as you get older, that your place becomes more important to you. This is where I want to sit. This is the view I want. This is the angle I want. This is, you know, exactly where I want to be. I'll choose. I come into your establishment. I'm not going to kick somebody out of the seat I want, but I will find the vacant seat that suits me fine. And then when more people showed up and the hostess said, well, okay, your group is over there down by the window, I just didn't move. And I knew people would come to me, or if I had to sit alone, I would have done that too. I was quite happy. Had my beer. The bar was the Pacific Junction Hotel. I swore when I walked in. Wow, very cool bar. First time I've been here. I was corrected by John Leszczynski. He said, no, you're here for PodCamp. And it took a while to go, oh, yeah. And either I was a little bit drunk when I arrived or a little bit high, but whatever. I could see it from the perspective of last year's PodCamp. Okay, this is where it was packed. This is where Sylvain was sitting. This was another party upstairs. It was coming back to me. And then Brent said, no, this is the third time you've been here. You're here for somebody else's birthday. So it doesn't much matter, but it was another indication. Oh, my God, you know. you really do start to forget a lot. But I did post a picture, a lovely picture of Connie and Brad, and said, at least I knew who I was talking to. That was good. Always lovely to see Connie come out to these things. This is Connie the librarian. She's not a librarian, but, you know, a research person. Wonderful person. And she's mature enough to appreciate me, right? Some of the youngsters don't quite get me or think it's important to show a little disdain, but Connie shows a certain degree of respect, and I greatly respect her, so that's fine. It was just a good evening. It was great to see friends, and of all the new people who were there at podcast, I didn't really have any interest in talking to any of them. I'm here to see friends. That's what, you know, friendship is about. If somebody had been lonely or on their own, I mean, I wouldn't have ignored somebody, but there was no real point. And just at the end, when everybody was getting ready to leave, I sat down with three other guys and tried to get into the conversation until I found out it was about wrestling and had absolutely no fucking interest whatsoever. All right, good. You guys into that? That's fine. I'm not going to join that conversation. I did make an effort to talk to somebody else who seemed to be running a studio, a podcast recording studio, right next to this bar. Well, this bar, by the way, is right next to Betty's, which is another favorite. So it's great. You get on the 504 King car, streetcar. So I may head to that part of the woods. I don't know. Part of the bar scene more often. I really liked it. It's fun. Anyway, so I tried to get into conversation with him, and I tried to explain what my podcast was about, and realized, why even bother? You know, I mentioned, he said, are you doing something at PodCamp? And I said, well, this is my proposal about audio journaling. And he was making the right sounds. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, I get that. But it really wasn't registering. And I felt, again, it makes this seem like such an isolated thing, what we're doing. So valuable, but it is a subculture within a subculture, really. You know, within the amateur podcast, then you've got the ones of us who do this, revealing our private lives and trying to be intimate and have a better understanding of each other and you know, peeling off the layers, the levels of protection. I think that is what we're trying to do, and I think we achieve. Which maybe gets me to my next topic, a topic I always say don't talk about on the podcast because it's boring, and that is dreams. I've had two sets of dreams, and I just want to share just a little bit with you. One of them, last night, I was in a basement area, and for some reason my parents were involved at one point. You know how one dream morphs into another, and they just a continuous series of scenes. But the best part was, I was in this basement area. It was almost like at a kid's party, and I had a balloon in one hand, and I was able to will myself to float up to the ceiling. And it was like a trick. It was positive thinking. I just said, yes, I can do it. And I'd rise up, and I had this tremendous, I mean, it was a real, is the word visceral? A real physical experience of, wow, I'm floating up, and I'm on my hands on the ceiling now. This is wonderful. How would I do that? And I was trying to tell other people about it. It's just all in your mind. It's just, you know, you can just. And I was thrilled that I had this gift. It's like when people were meditating, they want to believe that they could levitate, and all they got to do was hop on their bums a little bit. But in the dream, it was so real and was such a wonderful experience. So park that one. Night before, I was in a new home, and this is a recurring dream of the particular house, and I know it's connected to the house I lived in Valleyfield, that great big old scary house I grew up in. And I found I was in the basement area, and there were several rooms I hadn't even seen, but I'd seen them in previous dreams, and I thought, you know, I'm going to fix this place up. But being me, I knew it was a chore. It was going to be almost impossible. And all I ended up doing was sort of finding bits and pieces of screws and bolts and washers and screwdrivers and laying them out on the floor and realize, okay, I've got, you know, it looks like maybe I've attempted to do somebody or somebody's taken something apart. And I knew there was a whole lot to do in terms of furnishings and stripping down and putting things in the right place. And I was never going to get to it. But I knew I had that thrill of, here's something new. Here's a room that I have. I own this house, but I'm not doing anything with it. And I realized that's exactly what I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, that I've come to the conclusion that next month, February, one of the things I'm going to have to do is start off by cleaning up my office. Like, I look around and it's just a shithole. It's just papers everywhere. And it'll be a huge job for me to undertake. But I need to do it to have peace of mind so that if I do leave it and get into their old trek, I'll know that here's a place. Here's an empty inbox. Any bills that come in, just put them there. And, you know, even maybe instructions where to find things if necessary. Take some of the books. I've got tons of books. And clean up the shelves and put things out properly. And put some pictures up, like the picture that I rescued, I was telling you about. And actually make it look nice, like a place I'd actually want to be in, instead of just this place that's just too busy. And I think that was the purpose of the dream. It was sort of telling me, hey, you've got it right now. It's in front of you. You just got to do the work. Jason Rees came up in that dream. And of course, it's Jason's talking often about getting rid of stuff and collecting too much. And we have that much in common, which circles back to, well, why do I even know Jason? Well, because he's doing a similar kind of podcast. And we've become friends through that, even if we can't see each other often. And that is the wonder and the joy. And some people might celebrate that, and some people just don't care because they just want to somehow sell their product. Now, that said, I've checked out a couple of new podcasts for me. One of them is, The World of Mac or something like that. Mac User, what is it? Welcome to Macintosh. And I really enjoyed it. They talked about, you know, the old days of the magazines, which I used to read when I was in Japan, Macworld and Mac User, and a diehard fan explaining the difference between the philosophy of the two and what happened and why they died. And it was a very interesting show, specifically focused, very well done with interviews. So there is a place for people who can podcast on a particular topic. I mean, the whole world of podcasting, I love. I think it's a great, great thing. I'm just, in my own case, I'm only capable of doing things like I do this and maybe Gappage. Although I've got calls into Tim Coyne's people for another Talking to Tim episode, and they're not getting back to me, you know, with a date yet. It's frustrating. Anyway, that, in fact, is the most fun I ever have podcasting, is talking with Tim Coyne, but I'll just have to be patient on that one. Anyway, today I've got work to do. I've got to send a quote to Japan Travel Bureau for what I'm charging them to run the tour next year. Then I've got to really start mapping out what I have to do, which takes me to one more topic. To-do lists and things. I have the reminders that comes with Apple, and I like it because it's synced with my phone, my iPad, my MacBook, my iMac. But it doesn't remind me enough. It doesn't punish me if I don't do it. So I downloaded a free copy of Todoist, which I know Jason uses. I don't want to pay the paid version, which has the features which might be more helpful. But this one at least sends you an email. Hey, this is still undone from yesterday. And I need that, and I like that. The trouble is, you don't want to be running two or three of these things. I way back in the early, early days of Apple, there'd be all kinds of third-party programs that were great. There was an Agent DA and other things that what I need is to integrate the calendar and the to-do list, have them working together. And they're separate on the Mac. It just drives me nuts. iCal and reminders. I need one. And the trouble is, I've got my 100-point checklist for my other study tour that I have to go through, and that's not integrated with anything else. So I can either copying and pasting or something, but I really need a great program, and I don't think it's possible. It's frustrating. I need this kind of thing. I need a visual reminder, but I need something that nags me when it's not done. Not just, oh, missed that. Moving on. Anyway, I'm not really looking for suggestions. I'm going to try a little longer with Todoist. It's got some good features. And see if that might solve some of the problems. Anyway, that said, this was a boring little rant, wasn't it? I'm sorry. I really am. The song you just heard was Essence of Now by Marrying Maiden. And I chose that one because, although you can't find the lyrics online anywhere, it's just talking about, hey, being in the now, being aware of where you're at. And that's something we all need to remind ourselves of. So I'm going to stop there. I've said enough, and I want to save some time for a better ending to this. So this is Scarborough Dude on a Thursday morning, getting on just 10 o'clock. And I got a shitload of work I got to do today. And I want to do it so I can feel a little better when the weekend comes. Signing off. Well, that's not good. Well, that's not good either. Come on. Give me a good one. What's the matter with this damn thing? Yeah, that'll have to do. Hey, good morning. I try to use the same technique recording at home as I do when I'm using my handheld recorder, and that is, don't think, turn on the record button and just get going. So I've got 8 minutes left. I may... If this ends mid-sentence, don't worry about it. I did that deliberately. I just decided 8 minutes, you're not getting a second more. But anyway, we'll see how it pans out. The last song, what was it? After Essence of Now, I played... Oh, Everything in Its Right Place. A little predictable, but that's what I'm at. On the floor behind me, I have got 22 separate piles of papers. And most of these are credit cards from the business, from the home. Some my wife has, which I am responsible for. And it's just... they were all built up. I had sort of an outbox, and there was just a stack. And the only way is I do have to file these. I do have to put them in folders. And that's part of the cleanup process I'm just beginning, very early stages of. But this will get done. And then eventually I'll be able to... I've got two other inboxes on my desk that are just full of things. Not only that, when I have a paper and I don't know what to do with it, I'll put it under the box. I won't get throw it out, but I don't want to see it for a while. I'll put it under the box. It's really hard, but you've heard all this before. My printer, I print out really nice graduation certificates for the girls, and lately my printer has been smudging. I've had it for quite a while. It's an old Canon. They're great. Everything else works fine. The scanner, it's just a wonderful printer. But I look, I get a flyer from Staples today. Epson WorkFirst Series printers. Save 30, save 60, save $100. So here you got all in one. And these are wireless, so they work from your cell phone, from anything. And oh man, I think that'd be cool, you know? But what do I do with this old one? It's a big box. It's... Of course it has to be recycled. Do I need another one? Well, the thing is, I've tried to fix the other one. I've tried to stop that smudge. I don't know where the problem is. It seems immoral to go out and buy another printer. Unless, you know, this goes to a recycle depot right away. But knowing me, I think I might hang on to it. Ew, it's a problem, it's a problem. I don't know what to do. I'm just sucked in by these paper flyers. Online, it doesn't hit me the same way. Paper flyers still work with me. I'm old school. And this one, I mean, save 100, but it's $101.94. And, you know, of course they make their money from the ink that's proprietary. But it would do the job. And the thing is, I have a company, and I have thousands of dollars just sitting in that company that I can't access. I can't just give it to myself without tax implications. But I can buy toys like this MacBook Air I'm using. I could probably get a new mic. There's something about this blue snowball. It's not powerful enough. You know, it's just. But I'm trying to hold myself back from consuming, from buying. I'm trying to put the brakes on that, but man, oh man. And then I open the flyer, and then there's a whole lot of others by Canon. And just the idea is, yeah, you know, it cost me too much to get the old one fixed. I do need for the job. $100 is nothing when you're dealing with, you know, the amount of money I charge for the program. So I could just go and do it, but it doesn't quite seem right. Then what else? Oh, yeah, and then I saw, oh, wireless mice. I don't have a mouse for this MacBook Air. The one I have for my Apple, for my iMac, seems to go through a hell of a lot of batteries. And the ones I see advertised, half price. Oh, my God, the batteries last a year and a half? Really? So that's a temptation to... Now, I did get some work done yesterday. I did do a spreadsheet showing how much the tour costs for every aspect of the program, like the buses, the extras, the food, the meals, the camp, you know, and I compare it year by year by year to know how much I have to increase each year to cover the rising costs. It's, you know, It's business stuff, and I'm actually, believe it or not, capable of doing that. And long ago, I had a series of hard negotiations with Japan Travel Bureau, and I've got things in a very nice place. They need me. This is my program, as long as I can do it competently, and I think I can. So I have a lot of work to do on that, too. I mean, I'm not retired. I'm glad to have this company still going. God, do I want to end on that note? Oh, I don't dare pause. That's not cricket. Tax bills, stuff, books, still in the middle of four books. I might be recording a Gappage tonight with Brent. Stay tuned for that. And, God, I can't believe I'm running out of things to say. That's not possible. Oh, my God. This hasn't happened. I was worried about the 8 minutes. Now it's six and I'm stuck. Oh, my God. Is this real? I had another dream last night. It was very, very disturbing. Lost in New York City. Couldn't find the things I wanted. There was a new Empire State Building, which, of course, I confused with the World Trade Center. I was with my wife. I couldn't find where my car was parked. I couldn't get to the places I wanted to see. Of course, this is, I've been reading online. I want to go back to New York City, but I'm really having funny feelings about, do I want to, I could bring my road trek and park it in New Jersey and then just take trains and stuff if I knew a place to stay. What I'd really like, here's the last closing thought, if I knew more podcasters, start a Dixon Jane's podcasting network of people you can trust who can park in your driveway, maybe stay at your house, maybe meet up, maybe get some guiding things, you know, like a network, a social network to visit different places along the way. I've always wanted to do that. You know, sort of a trusting thing. It's great through the Us Amateur podcast because we're not trying to sell anything to anybody else. You can trust us. That's a dream I've always had. I used to think it was work-related. I wanted to do a teacher's tour and so on. The idea of a network, Dixon Jane's Trustworthy, you join. It's like a little club. You can only get in if you've actually bared your soul on a podcast, you know, and so people know who you are, something about you, they can trust you. And with that, it gets you sort of a pass to go actually and visit people. I mean, I'm partly doing that already, but I'd like to extend. I need somebody near New York City. I guess that's what I'm getting at, all right? And I need somebody else in Colorado. All right, my 8 minutes is up. This is it. Time to go. See you next week. Thanks. It's been fun. Bye for now. Ooh, where's the bell? Oh, come on.